Well, good morning again. Hey, kids, all the kids in the house, I just want you to look to me for just a second. I just want to tell you how proud I am of you. I'm so proud of you that you come with your parents, and sometimes, you know, you don't feel like you really want to, but you come. And I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm so glad for parents. Seriously, just, again, just thinking on that baptism blesses my heart to see parents that are leading the way for their children, but also children who are sensing the movement of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for God to do it again. Anybody with me? Yeah. I'm ready for God to do it again, that He brings healing, that God brings revival, that God moves mountains, that God makes the spiritually blind to see, that He makes the lame and are inactive to walk again. I'm ready for God to do it again. But God only is going to choose a church. The Bible says that His eyes are roaming through and out the earth to whom He might strengthen. And my prayer for us and for Connect Church is that God rests His eyes upon Connect Church and said, that's my church. I choose to do it again through that church. Can you imagine what would happen if we get in sync with God walk like, talk like, and behave like His Son, Jesus Christ? Can you imagine what that would look like? Can you imagine what the growth would look like? Funny thing is, I was watching that video. How many of you know the cactus Christian? You know, don't admit if you are the cactus Christian. You know, I was just thinking, those pots, we all represent those pots now and again, don't we? And so here at Connect Church, we're going to tell you how it is. Our goal is to help you become disciples of Jesus Christ who love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, who love people with all their hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and who impact the world as a result of loving God and people. That's where we're headed. So if you're not going to be with us, then, you know, I was talking this morning in our partnership class and just kind of talking about who our church is. And this may surprise you. If you've been in the partnership class, you'll know this is true. Here's what I tell folks. If God brought you here, then jump right in. Both feet, come on. But if God's not leading here, would you please go somewhere else? Because you're not going to be happy and you're going to make everybody else unhappy around you. But if you're all in and you believe this is where God is leading you, He is doing that for a purpose. And one of the reasons is for you to grow. One of the reasons is so that you don't stay the same way spiritually that you were in 2019. God expects growth. So the question is, got growth? Not a growth. Do you got growth? Some of us have some sinful stigmatisms on us, you know, but have you got spiritual growth? Did you know that when you said yes to Jesus Christ and became His follower, that you agreed and you are expected to grow spiritually? Just like a newborn that is born, a newborn in Christ is expected to be fed and to learn and to grow and take those baby steps and wobble and fall and get back up, but eventually begin to walk and talk and grow on their own, be able to feed themselves. Some of us are like those toddlers that's just learning to feed themselves. You remember those days? Some of you are right in the middle of those days. You give that kid a spoon, and all of a sudden it becomes a slingshot around the kitchen. All this stuff, and then, you know, we try to model to our kids, have y'all ever eaten those baby food green peas? Why would we feed that to our kids when we won't eat it ourselves? And friends, let me tell you, adults, why would we try to feed our kids spiritually when we won't feed our own self spiritually? We want them to grow, but we don't model growth. And God expects each of us to grow. And really the reason is when we say yes to Jesus, it's the starting point. It's not the stunting point. Some of us are stunted in our growth. We need some tilling around the soil and add some stuff to it, you know, and help it grow in water. But saying yes to Jesus means that if we're not growing in Christ, I have to tell you, we're not grounded in Christ. Man, it got quiet. I'm convinced of that. If we're not growing in Christ, we are not properly grounded in Christ. Because when our roots join with He's the vine, we're the branches. When our roots go down deep and join with the vine, the source of life, there is growth. There'll be no denying it. You don't even have to question. I was looking at some of the kids this morning as they were coming in, and I've been fortunate to be here long enough to see the birth of these children, and now they walk in and are like, who are you? You're twice the size or three times the size that you were. It ought to be the same way spiritually, that when your friends and your family look at you as spiritually like, man, who is that? You have grown tremendously in leaps and bounds. If you and I are not following Christ, we are simply faking Christ. And when we're faking Christ, we're missing out on the fullness of Christ. So this series that we're in, if you're joining us for the first time, is a series about growth, about spiritual growth. What happens next when you said, I do, to Jesus? When you said, yes, I want to be your follower. First off, you got to follow him. And in week one, we talked about you got to know who you're following. And in week one, we talked about to get growth, you've got to get to know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, his character, his person, getting to know him personally, not just knowing of God intellectually. James 2:19, you know, we say we know God, but do you really know God, or we know of God? James 2:19 says, man, you believe that there's one God? Good. Even the demon, Satan and his demons believe that, and they tremble. I'm talking about knowing God, not knowing of God. And when you begin to know someone and you begin to hang around them, you begin to act like them and mimic them. And then in week two, I mean, how many of you were here last week when Pastor Aleem, he brought the message, show enough, right? And fo show. We learned some words and we all know exactly what it meant. We didn't even have to spell it. Y'all knew what it meant. And he brought the word talking about that if we're going to get to know God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one of the ways that we do that is to get into the Bible. You know, it's that one statement. I love that quote that the Bible is the only book that you got to know the author to understand its meaning. But I tell you, when you know God and you begin to open his word and you begin to discover who he is, that from Genesis to Revelation, he reveals his character to us. And the more that you get to know him, the more you grow in him, and the more that you grow in him, you begin to act like, walk like, talk like, and behave like him. There's that one song that's a country song, and I remember it from years ago. It says, you know, where'd you learn to talk like that? I want to be like you, Dad. I want to act like you, Dad. That was such a convicting song, because, but it wasn't because of that. It was because of the spiritual. Have I lived that kind of life and grown spiritually in my children's life so that they'll want to mimic and want to find that for themselves? That won't happen without growth. We learned the reason, the main thing was, why do we get into God's Word? Number one, it's because it's Christ-centered. It helps us know who Jesus Christ is, who we've gathered in his name. It is Christ-centric. It is also God-breathed. When we open this Word of God and apply it to our lives, we can rest assured one thing. If we read it, we begin to practice it, he's sure enough do it again. God will do it again because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This Bible is not a fairy tale. This Bible is the field manual for life to help us grow into the head of the body, which is Christ Jesus. We should get into the Word because his Word is sufficient. You want answers to life's problems? Right here. You want answers to your questions? Get in the Word. But there's a third aspect in this series, which we're going to talk about this morning, it's a guarantee. Don't you like 100% guarantee or your money back? This is 100% guarantee for spiritual growth, and that's get real in prayer. If you'll get real in prayer, you get to know God, you get into his Word and begin to find out what he expects of us, and you begin to communicate God, you will begin to grow. And prayer, what we're going to talk about is prayer. What is prayer? We're going to answer some questions, five very interesting questions about what prayer is and what it isn't. We all have this kind of misconception of what prayer is. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to take us back to the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 1 through 3. I love Jeremiah the prophet because there's so many things that God has used out of those writings by Jeremiah in my own life that just have helped transform me. And Jeremiah 33, 1 through 3, once you've found that, I'd ask you to join me as we honor the reading of God's Word. If you haven't found it yet, you'll be able to read along behind the screen. And when we get to verse 3, I'll read the first two aloud. And when we get to verse 3, I want to ask you to join me in saying this out loud. So would you stand with me? So while he was confined in the guard's courtyard, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. The Lord who made the earth, the Lord who forms it to establish it, Yahweh is his name. And he says this, here we go. Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and incomprehensible things you do not know. May it be true from our lips, from his word to his heart. You may be seated. What is prayer? It's communication. And communication is the ability to transmit, or transfer information, not just transmit. You see, there's a difference between transferring and transmitting. If you transmit and there's no one on the other side, you're just transmitting. But good communication requires that when we send a message, the message is received, it's understood, and there's usually feedback that comes along with that. Communication is not difficult, but for some reason, I have to tell you, I struggle with it when it comes to my relationships at times. I struggle with it oftentimes. Let me give you a couple examples. I struggle with communication because I'm sometimes not swift to hear or slow to speak. I usually get that mixed up. A couple weeks ago, 11 of us went down. Your safety team's working hard, very hard to provide a safe environment for us here at Connect Church. And we went down for 8 hours and went to some very specialty training to make sure we can provide that safe environment here at Connect Church. Very extensive. It's the best firearms training I've ever received in all my military career and ever since. But we were down there, and when it was all said and done, the word kept coming up over and over again. What was the experience like? It was humbling. Because we all learned that we have a problem with listening. I wasn't just the only one. This one particular course, they set up cones. And he said, you need to go around those cones, and you need to fire 3 shots on your first set. Before he could even finish, most of us were unloading our magazines and only putting 3 rounds in the magazine. That's not what he said. And so we were so focused on going forward without following the instructions that we all failed. None of us, Deputy Sheriff Craig did, but the rest of us failed. Nobody went around the cones. We went straight forward. We didn't follow instructions. Anybody there have a problem with that? You hear what you want to hear. All I heard was attack. And we do that spiritually. God tells us in his word to do things, and we're going to go try to do this instead of following his word and fail to follow his instructions. And guess what? We wonder why we fail in life. God gives us very specific instructions, and oftentimes I believe it's just like that instructor. He's trying to see if we're listening. See, there's no communication if there's no receipt of the information. I hear what I want to hear instead of what I'm supposed to hear. And I don't believe I'm the only one. Here's another example. I get distracted easily, especially when it's football season. I don't hear a word that Karen says. All I hear is womp, 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 womp. So she's tested me, and I'm so distracted with trying to do what I want to do that I fail to hear what she wants to say. And then she's tested me on it, and a couple times it's happened. She said, I just bought a new Mercedes. I just spent all our money in the checking account. Oh, and by the way, I have a new boyfriend. And I'm like, Oh, go ahead. Good for you. Because I wasn't focusing on my bride. I wasn't focusing on the one that I said yes to. Friends, it's that way spiritually. We get so distracted by what we want to do that we don't hear what God wants us to do. We don't hear what he wants to tell us. We just don't want it to happen. And there's one other example. I sit in my office, Pastor Aleem, it's his fault. He got me turned on to these things called earbuds. Noise-canceling earbuds. These buds, you just pick them up, they turn on immediately, put them in, and man, I can't hear anything. He was yelling at me the other day, said, I've been calling to you, and I said, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear him because my ears were blocked. and I didn't really want to hear. Oftentimes we come to church, and Betty, it's putting the spiritual earplugs in, and it's not, I don't want you to talk to me. I want you to talk to my wife or my husband or my kids or my parents. We don't want to hear what God has to say. Because if we hear what God has to say, guess what? We have to respond to that. And so we just know that, and I just tell you, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I'm not the only one who struggles with effective communication. Right about now, there ought to be some nudging from wives to husbands and husbands to wives, especially when it comes to communicating with God. We hear what we want to hear instead of what God is trying to tell us. We get out ahead of God. We don't listen to God's voice because we're too distracted by the things of the world, or quite frankly, we just don't hear God because we don't want to. We don't want to hear, and here's proof of it. We put our Bible along the side, and the only time we ever open it, if we open it then, now in our society, is on Sundays. We just sang about that. Can't just happen on Sundays. If I only talked to Karen on Sundays for an hour and a half, how well do you think my relationship would be? How deep would the intimacy be? How could we coordinate our schedules and do the things that we do as a couple? And yet it's the same way spiritually. That's not growth. That's being stunted. And what we want to teach you here is how to pray and what is it. You got to know what it is first. So prayer is something that each and every one of us can do. Would you just say that out loud? I can pray. You can. You just, in a way, you just proved it because you spoke out loud. You can communicate. You can communicate with God. It's not difficult. It is simply communicating or talking with all your heart to the heart of God, telling Him what's going on in our life. Did you catch that? Prayer means that you and I get to actually talk and communicate with God, our lover of our souls and our Creator. We get to do that. And instead, we've got into this society, oh, I gotta pray. I gotta go to prayer meeting. No, we get to pray. We get to ask God, who sees over the hill and around the corner, God, what would you have me do? And He responds to that, and He listens to that, and the Bible says He answers that. So we got to open our ears. Many times, how many times did the Bible say, he that hath an ear, let him hear? Jesus said, take the earbuds out. Get away with the distraction. Listen to what I've got to say. It's important. And every time when we begin to get God trying to tell us something, we ought to start listening. Amen? Amen? When He gets ready to talk, and you know, when He talks, He doesn't yell. God doesn't yell. Not when He's talking, when He wants to communicate. You know, devil yells. He puts all this distraction, all this loud stuff, all this stuff, but the still, small voice. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. They know who I am. And He gently speaks, and we got to train ourselves to listen to that voice so that we can respond to that voice and then in kind talk to God. I know this, in our marriage, Karen used to tell me when I'd get loud. I mean, I have a bass voice anyways, but when we'd get in an argument, I know you'll find that hard to believe, that we have ever argued. 35 years, you know, but we have. There's a couple key phrases that God, she is not the Holy Spirit, but God uses her as His tool of the Holy Spirit. And she said, Jay, just because you get loud doesn't mean that you're communicating. You getting loud is not going to change anything. And it talks me to kind of calm down and quit being loud because it turns off the ability to communicate. Prayer is the means by which we actually individually and corporately converse with God. It's so important for spiritual growth that we need to understand some basic things about it. And when I was in investigations, one of the things we always ask on a case to get to the foundation, to get to where it's really happening, you have to ask these questions: who, what, when, where, how, and why. So this morning, very quickly, I want to go through those. What is prayer? What is it? Well, first I want to ask, who is it? Who should we pray to? Because you can talk to anybody, right? Who should we pray to? You have a choice to who you pray to. All around the world, there are religions who pray to different people. You have a choice